Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. Today is just a home run minus the competition.
Regular home run.
Just a regular home run.
We did appreciate all the attention yesterday, however.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for participating. Thank you for those of you that made your way to our social media and made your way to our show for the first time. Thank you very much. And
We'd like to see more of you.
Yeah, more of you.
Definitely.
Yeah, today is just a regular, you know, home run, like Dwight pointed out.
Regular, unfiltered home run.
Mm-hmm. You know, one that doesn't involve competitions. But do stay tuned. Well, we always do something like that from time to time. I remember I think that's the first one that we did together.
Mm.
The one that we were live streaming at the time.
Yeah.
We had to sort of like write all the names on a paper, put them on in a jar, shake it for transparency purposes.
Well, that was also where the cameras was in the studio that day.
Oh yeah, that's
to show how transparent we were.
Transparent.
So you and I were not doing. It's none.
And yeah, so we just decided.
Look, there was no way we were going to appropriate the prize, Helmut. Firstly, we could not participate in the competition.
Yeah, that was some of these things. But yeah.
So please keep. Look,
I think after those cameras.
The sanctity of Home Run Nest to be kept away from, have to kept far from any kind of rots happening in Namibia. Because to be participating in a rot, you must be directly benefiting. Just so that you and I know the definitions.
I think that's how I explained it this morning. Except I put in a very low, in a lot of words.
But I probably have some, Middle Eastern bank accounts or some Azerbaijani bank accounts that don't have any jurisdiction.
Look, man, I feel like being corrupt at this point is a waste of time, because you'll be corrupt, you'll be stealing a lot of money. When you get arrested, you spend all that money on lawyers and then go to jail.
Or you can't access the money.
Yeah.
Because it might be in a country that needs you to be there and not your wife to show up.
Yeah, and now you have to be, you have to rely on a public lawyer. Don't get me wrong, guys. I love you very much. But the whole thing of,
you got to leave this American. Don't, please, Amma, don't use the Americans.
I know. I'm not going to go there. Yeah. But look, the point is, I'm not going to commit a crime relying on a public lawyer. Now, there are very good public lawyers out there. Mm. Let me explain. The best lawyer. A good lawyer knows the law, but the best lawyer knows the law and the judge. Now, unless you can afford a lawyer that knows both the law and the judge, I would really stick to following the law if I were you. Because, you can have all the money, like you pointed out, and then your assets are frozen because of, we don't want to send a message that crime pays. Ish.
Or that somehow you are still deriving a proceed or some benefit from whatever nest egg was stashed away somewhere outside of Namibia.
All these things is basically a way of, I find it entertaining as not just a comedian, but also someone that works in media space. I got to compare, different papers of how they are, portraying the story. I'm like, this is sensationalism 101. And if it works.
Mm.
Let's get to Home Run. And today's discussion is what we just glossed through yesterday before we switched from Home Run to the, from regular Home Run to competition. And that is, green hydrogen. Mm. Tuesday we did talk about green hydrogen, but in the direction of how can the youth benefit from this initiative. Although one thing that we actually kept pointing out was, first of all, not all of us have the mental capacity to be, chemical engineers.
But why are you saying mental capacity, Ahmed? Because
you can imagine how much brain power it takes to be a chemical engineer.
We work with physics every day in your kitchen. You switch on the microwave, you switch on the kettle, you switch on the stove. For those of you that can cook.
Dude, that's like me saying, well, I'm a sniper in Call of Duty. Can we go to war?
Yeah, you have the potential, except for other particular skill sets that you might be deprived from.
Well, except a real sniper rifle is probably going to be taller than me. Now yes, I have to run with it.
And it probably might rip off part of your shoulder.
Uh-huh. Because muzzle.
The recoil.
Yeah.
When the recoil happens.
That's why I'm not going to participate in that. Yeah, so, you know, look, I like it on my pixels, but in real life, count me out. So, how do we benefit from green hydrogen, like overall? Look, I'm still stuck, there's a part that we talked about when we had this discussion, on Tuesday, and that's the part of I can't stop thinking about just how many reports that come out of our public sector on an annual basis. And you and I, we go through these things we chew through these things like hot butter through knife. So that's how informative they are. When you pointed out that a large number of the Namibian population, and this is not only this is not only in the south. I also came to realize that it's also it's mostly a problem in a lot of rural areas.
Mm.
First of all, they have a problem accessing this information, and then they are only mainly in one language, and that's English.
Okay, so Ahmed, not to preempt a discussion that you and I are keeping in the back side of our pockets and our back pockets for probably next week. But I say possibly for next week.
Yeah.
But I came yesterday from a discussion, and this is now which gives rise to the report on that the Standing Committee of Constitution and Legal Affairs, when they had the Judiciary and Minister of Justice guys there talking about budgets from 2015 up to 2024. No, up to 2023. And Oshakati Koto came up in that discussion.
Really?
That was from that discussion, not from the one that I attended yesterday, which was about rolling out an electronic case management system, or trying to adopt one or develop one or procure one for the judiciary. And its networks.
Courtesy of Uganda.
So while I'm sitting there, and obviously viewing the presentations being done by the Deputy Chief Justice of Uganda and the ICT guy that he brought with of the Ugandan judiciary, who then came and talked about some of the other particular final details and just sort of like crossed the I's and dotted the T's of what his boss said. I sat there thinking, going, but all I can hear is that presentation, that engagement, that stakeholder engagement by that standing committee with the executive directors. And one of the executive directors was present yesterday, because Minister of Justice's people weren't there. They sent representatives, but the executive director was not there. Just the executive director of judiciary, which is the Mr. Kukuri. And obviously his bosses were also there, and his other colleagues were there. Now I'm sitting with all at the back as media. And all I keep seeing in the back of my mind, in terms of remembering the engagement that took place between that standing committee and the officials from the various ministries and agencies regarding the prefabricated courts that don't exist, the other infrastructure that don't exist in other parts of the country, as well as the makeshift courtrooms, the information systems, and the lack of the infrastructure to support these information systems. Remember, the one facility that was a bedroom, and the other one that was literally office.
I think that was a tabby.
Where all the case physical documents were on the floor. And
serious security problem.
And we're sitting in the Hilton Hotel listening to a wonderful presentation going on here. And I'm like, and I sit there in the back of my mind going like, this is not the reality on the ground for Namibian justice system, which obviously speaks about the, what they call that thing, the rollout of a fully electronic system. Mm-hmm. Now, we're obviously sitting here, today's discussion is based upon the green industries. Now, the green industries are based upon a reliance on information systems. Why do I say this? Well, here's one of the key things to understand. For example, not many of us see what literally happens in the realm of some of the green industries that have unveiled itself or have been inaugurated since the start of this year. For example, the hydrogen iron manufacturing plant in the Erongo region, or its name is actually High Iron, the Oshivela plant. That specific scenario. So it produces green metal products, or metal products produced through green processes. Not many of us see these things because we sit in our mind's eye and we sit and, you know, go, we think to ourselves, okay, so how impactful would many things be? And many of us also don't recognize or have factored in the particular discussion of what actually happens when you try and export things now with the CBAM, the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism treaty, obviously, that Namibia has ongoing with Europe, with the EU.
That's starting early next year.
That's starting in next year, because this whole year is about phasing in and introducing and getting up to standard the various settings, systems, sectors, stakeholders, and those that ultimately that want to do business with the EU, so that you are literally in the positive of when CBAM now takes effect in terms of trade relations between the world and Europe. The particular report, dear listeners, that we're looking at today, which is what Helmut and I are focusing on, is the potential that exists. Now, much of it is, for example, the discussion, like the youth discussion back on Tuesday. What I did not share, Helmut, was that there was a question I asked, and it seemed like people didn't understand it, except for the one of the youth guys, the guy that went and did his masters in Germany, the Mr. Ortmann guy. I asked him and the presenter of IPPR, Roswitha Tumbu, I asked them, in terms of their engagements with the youth and them as participants of the youth, what do they think green hydrogen sector is? Is it an extractive sector, or is it a manufacturing sector? Now, the participant...
That's a weird combination of both.
In a sense, it is. However, on the one side, if you are just using water as your input material, you are technically not damaging the environment, even though you are taking from the environment. Remember, the whole idea is that they wish to set up desalination plants, which aims to convert from seawater to some sort of a state of water that is then used for the whole ammonia and hydrogen production process.
So it's sort of like removing impurities.
Exactly.
Because, it's seawater, so it's going to have a lot of salt.
So they know that Namibia has water shortages, which is also based upon the other particular discussion that we will also have, the one about how Namibia is prone to droughts, and some parts of Southern Africa as well, and the issues around how do you not use that resource for this particular manufacturing process. Now, what you need to understand, and what the listeners have to factor in, is that there is a notion of competition that arises in Namibia. For example, competition around access to land. So what is the competition that exists here? The competition is in a scenario when you look at an urban setting where you've got a high influx of people from other parts of the country. Let's, for example, say like Windhoek. So now your informal settlements expand quicker than your formalized residential areas. Now that is demand that wants land, but let's, for example, say the municipality or the city of Windhoek says, hey, listen, guys, we first cater for those that actually bought their properties and not those that just came and set up.
That just showed up.
That just showed up with their corrugated iron sheets and their tarred poles and decided to, you know, hammer things in and bolt their sheets in and then go like, hey, listen, we want services where I am. Reason why that exists is because in Namibia, we've got a very rampant, yes, it is capitalistic, because first and foremost, we all understand, we all, and this is also what makes me very angry, Helmut. I'm sorry, I'm not emotional, but it annoys me to a level of when I ask other journalists, do they understand the Namibian economy and its intricate levels? You can understand it at a macro level.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go down on your level as where you interact with other Namibians, do you understand those intricacies? For example, how many Namibians back in 2023, remember when Namra destroyed the order with me, confiscated contraband goods?
Yeah.
Now, I'm using the word contraband because the only reason why the authorities would confiscate your what you imported. For example, remember, you went to go pick up a device.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't confiscated because you brought in one device. You didn't bring in 100 of the same device.
Yeah.
You brought in one device, Helmut. One that you felt you could not find anymore in the Namibian economy, but still served your needs in the Namibian economy.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you did that, multiply that by 100. You imported 100 devices of the same thing. And they would ask you, okay, Helmut, where's your import slip? This is an unusual activity for one person.
Yeah.
Because we all know one person doesn't use one or doesn't use 100 cell phones simultaneously. Not if it's the example of the, what's those guys? The guys that, do the weird streaming exercise to boost viewership numbers. That talk that we had last year.
Farming something. Yeah.
Yes.
Streaming farms. Yeah.
Stream farming, yes. Since you know that it won't be for that scenario, you probably could have been someone that's an order with me, collected all the money from potential customers, went and ordered from one of the online platforms, and you brought in 100 phones of the same make. Now, to the customs authorities, which is Namra, they all went like, hello. There's one guy's name here on this. There's not even a business. It's a guy's name on the label. So they ask you, okay, Helmut, since this is such a large quantity of what you're importing, please pay an import tax. And then you start debating with them. Yeah, I don't have an import tax. But here's the thing. That ultimately means you should have known about if there is quantity.
Any product above a certain level
quantity or
requires
certain,
you to pay an import tax.
Exactly. Above a certain volume.
Yeah.
Then you are liable to pay a additional import fee.
But if you're only carrying one or two of them.
Sure. Or you're bringing in three things or stuff like that. Why not? Now, that particular oddity that exists was, you can clearly, if you know about the processes, you can clearly see why certain things were confiscated by Namra back then. And I remember, I think it was like something to the tune of 25 million Namibian dollars, the value. That those goods that were burnt and destroyed. And they included a whole bunch of goods, you know, but these were mostly consumer goods. Now, when you look at that discussion of the intricacies of manufacturing, let's now, for example, set this setting in. If you try to bring in milk, but you know there's milk being produced in Namibia. Hence the reason why I asked that question to the two presenters. What do you think the green hydrogen sector is?
Is it extractive or manufacturing?
Exactly. So I didn't get an answer from our guest that was here, you know, the mutual guest that you and I know. I didn't get an answer from her because she bounced that question to the gentleman, the guy from the one of the youth beneficiaries of these scholarships, Mr. Ortman. And he said, no, it's manufacturing. I said, thank you, because, and I'm motivated as to why I asked them this question. It wasn't a gotcha question, meaning I'm trying to catch you out. It was a question in terms of, for me to see.
How is it being categorized?
And how it's communicated by those that are being trained in the sector.
Yeah.
many Namibians and even some of our fellow listeners from Eagle FM, Helmut, when we started talking about green hydrogen, showed up here and literally made it sound that's in the category of the oil and gas sector. It's in the category of the uranium, of the gold, of the diamonds. Now, it's a yes and a no, but it's not purely a yes to agree with that it's in the extraction. Yes, something is being extracted, but you are literally making something that is not there. It's purely manufacturing. Now, it sets the scene for our discussion today. I know. I went to Korejas and Tsumkwe, across the map, from Korejas to Tsumkwe, and I came back to Windhoek. In between, I watered the donkey, you know?
Yeah, you did, but, well...
The donkey also had some, you know, feed to eat, so don't worry. I'm not trying to sound like Jesus.
You really are catching up. Okay, I totally understand the confusion on how when it comes to categorizing.
Yeah.
Categorizing the green hydrogen, does it fall under manufacturing or extractive? Because that's basically like saying, going to someone that, that is, that has a giant, a giant plant, where, that is fed by a mine.
Mm.
And at that plant, what they do is, is remove the impurities from the, from the ores that they are mining and then making it into finished goods.
Mm.
This is like lumping together, a steel, a steel making plant with an iron, with an iron mine, because what you're doing is you're literally getting, getting something natural as you'd expect. And in this case, water instead of iron ore, for example.
Yeah.
You're getting water and you are splitting these atoms and,
You said don't use split atoms.
You're
splitting molecules.
You're splitting molecules.
Yeah.
Atoms. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're splitting molecules because, water is a molecule of two hydrogen and one oxygen. You're splitting these molecules so that you can have have a desired atom separate that you want, in this case, hydrogen that you want. And your byproducts in that case is mostly what? It's most likely going to be what? Oxygen?
Oxygen and the hydrogen.
Oxygen and the hydrogen.
But what
that's
I,
nice.
But when now, I asked that question of what does it look like
the
to
byproduct
Mr. to Mr. Ortmann, he said, but the actual aim, and this is something that even the Green Hydrogen Commissioner, Program Commissioner, Mr. Nupe, has himself constantly reiterated, the aim is to produce the ammonia product.
We're still on the categorization.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it really does look like it's extractive.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah.
Because of that water element.
Because you are extracting it. And then, crude oil works in the same way.
Mm.
It's it's drilled from the ground, and it's called crude oil because it's a combination of a lot of different chemicals.
Mm.
And then it's distilled, sort of, where they have a fractional distillation of crude oil.
If you use chemicals, Hamut, then people will think it's like someone already pre-dumped those chemicals.
Yeah, but. Yeah. What I mean by a lot of different chemicals is that it's from crude oil, where diesel comes from, where kerosene comes from, where paraffin comes from, where tar comes from for both the road and your cigarettes.
Where your favorite Vaseline comes from.
Vaseline comes from. Is it Vaseline or petroleum jelly?
It's both, bruh. It stands on the tub. It says literally there.
I know, I don't want to, look, I know, I don't want to sound like
mine. And then they even scent it. They add a fragrance to it.
Yeah, I scented mine. It didn't end well. Look. I lost it. Poor guy somewhere out there. Some of the things you people steal. That's on you. But, look. So all this, so all these different, you know, all these different products that we use on a daily basis, you go to a service station, whether you have a diesel or petrol engine, you are fueling, and you, you know, you have some lubricant, you have some lubricants that you are using for your car, or I'm not sure about other lubricants, but I know the one for a car comes from, or, you know, the same crude oil. I just said other lubricant.
I have to switch on off my brain now.
You're welcome.
But I needed to think.
So water, on the other hand, is a molecule of green hydrogen and oxygen. Now when you're talking about seawater, throw in salt also in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also has salt. So you are now splitting, you're basically separating all this mixture into, so that for you to get what you desire from, you know, the desired product that you're after. In this case, the hydrogen part of things.
And the nice thing is they don't have to pay for the water, because the water would have been an extra cost onto the final production of everything.
Okay, if I came up with that idea, whether we, I mean, was a genius. I mean,
exactly.
It's 70%. And also put in mind, you know, because of the pollution, yeah, chances are very high you have, because of this whole garbage patch discussion, you have microplastic among other things in that water.
Yeah. And other impurities as well. And remember, like 100 years of oil spills and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And obviously that it's the natural environment for some others. But before we continue, guys, we actually have a short ad break coming up.
Not a good time to be a jellyfish, but I don't know. We're not in Australia.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2.5 kg Champion Super Maize Meal for only $32.99. And 500 grams Right Brand Medium Fat Bread Spread, only $9.99 each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 20 July 2025. Only at ShopRite.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. It's 2 minutes past the hour of five. We are still into, we're still into the green hydrogen discussion. And the main source of our, you know, the main source of our discussion today is a report titled "Localizing Green Industries in Namibia." After reading that, it took me back to the point you made, you made the other day when you said, who is going to be the main consumer of this product?
But remember, that was obviously in conjunction, for example, like with a diamond,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the pivotal things where I try to understand. Look, I understand the central government's budgeting apparatus needs a specific direct financing mechanism. But that's obviously also, if you look at all the SOEs,
mm-hmm.
why they were created, so as to fund government's particular objectives. So when people sit and look at the Namibian economy, which is a mixed economy, they realize there's a massive presence by the state in the economy. For example, MTC, Telecom, Namport, what's the other one's name? Roads Authority, Namcor. Who else is there that also makes directly money from the economy?
Throw Transnam maybe in that bucket.
Transnam, there's someone else I'm forgetting. They also, Agribank, there's someone else all the municipalities and local authorities. There's someone else. But just for me, obviously NAMPOST as well, obviously. And when you go and look at everything I just mentioned, and then there's CRAN, for example. When you go look at all their particular scenarios, and then obviously Ministry of Finance and NAMRA. Yes, NAMRA. How could we forget NAMRA? And NAMRA. And when you look at all these agencies that I just explained to you, which are literally government positions in the formal Namibian economy, you realize all these revenue generating streams for the government. Obviously the most famous one, the most pervasive one, pervasive, which I mean is, I actually should have said omnipresent.
Thank you.
Because to say pervasive would just mean widespread, but you would not find it in certain things. So if I say omnipresent, I'm saying this is a tax that exists everywhere. That is the quickest way for the government to make money. Every financial budget year, I mean, we're coming close to October once again, Helmut. The new financial minister, Erica Shufuda, will come and tell you, and there will be a lovely line in there.
Midterm budget review.
VAT collections that took place. Like, hey, there's your tax, guys. The tax that you pay on your lovely Oshagandela products. There's your VAT, or your lovely, for those guys that buy Jacob's Kroonen coffees. There's your VAT. It's standing right there. It's now being repurposed in the second half of the financial year.
You know, when you look at it like that, you really appreciate, people that go chilling.
Are you talking about the beer drinkers?
There's a lot of VAT.
Are you talking about the beer drinkers?
You.
The beer drinkers, the smokers, of course, because once again, did you remember the sin tax discussion that you and I had?
Yep.
Sin tax has also become a key concern, because sin taxes are an additional, sort of like penalizing tax. And this is usually applied on guess who? Like you said, the chilling guys, the chillers. So, look at all those avenues of income stream development. And then you ask yourself, as an ordinary Namibian, how do I participate, how do I benefit, and what do I contribute? And then you can immediately see your contributions. You can immediately see, for example, when you walk down your street, let's say, sorry, Hamut, to use your hometown, Divundu. You go back to Divundu, because Divundu was most recently classified as a town or a village council. That recent classification, I think it was like 2 years back. 2 or 3 years back. From that classification.
I'm going to go with town. I'm so proud of us. But anyway.
With that recent classification, right? Now, the local authority of Divundu has to now seek support from the central government in order for it to build a hospital or clinic or build a police station, build a post office, build this and build that, because they've got to put these services there that the town members will require. And then from there, because those services will lay down the foundation of development, which will then tell the private sector guys, hey, come and build your shop here. Come and build a hotel here. Come and build a service station here. Because the Namibian government won't go and build you a service station, Hamut. It won't. it will mean through that new retail branch that Namcor developed, for example, if it was a government entity, it would be still a private citizen that has a franchise agreement with Namcor to open up that service station in Divundu. It would still be in the private sector realm of things, even though the oil, the petrol and diesel supplies would be bought through a government agency, thus it generating revenue, but still, you would still be a private sector player.
No wonder the World Bank criticized them for being both a player and a referee.
And then, you obviously get the other indicators, which is the famous sector that I like beating down on. I'll clearly clarify my stance on the sector, because if India and China are busy producing the synthetic diamonds, then why are we wasting our time in the sector? But nonetheless, the diamond sector, I can't use it, Helmut.
We're still making money.
It still factors in directly through Namdeb, which is a JV between the government and De Beers, directly into the government's revenue. It's a direct government revenue stream, which means Namdeb is technically a partial SOE.
Yeah.
It's technically a partial SOE. So, obviously, we won't make mention of Namdia. Hint, hint, wink, wink. We won't make mention of them.
When are those trials starting? I'm enjoying trials these days. Green hydrogen.
Yeah. So, in the green hydrogen sense of things, right?
Yeah.
This is now as the whole country, as this report outlines, will now try to reach the next level of industrialization, which is widespread manufacturing or large presence of this process or the sector's manufacturing in the Namibian landscape. And then from this, as the report says, or the authors of the report and the owners of the report say, they would like to see a flourishing ecosystem, thus stemming from the sector.
Remember the energy discussion we had, where one gentleman said something that's still stuck in my head, especially as it relates to energy.
Yeah.
But the gentleman said, no country has built a manufacturing base on, you know, questionable energy sources. So if you want to, you know, if manufacturing is the direction you want to take, you first have to sort out the energy component. Because if you sort out the energy component, not only does it make life very easy for you, you know, for local manufacturers, but it's also a way of attracting investors. Because any investor will just look at your energy costs and it's like, you know what? It's very easy for me to set up manufacturing there because I don't have to incur all these through the roof energy costs. Mm. So that means, green hydrogen, that's one way that I think a lot of local businesses that want to take the direction of manufacturing could benefit from it that way.
Yep.
Yeah, of course we have started talking about energy mix.
Yes.
Yeah, energy mix. Now, if green hydrogen is thrown into the energy mix discussion that we would like to use to achieve the energy security discussion that we've been having, leads us to, that has a lot of advantages, if you ask me.
Mm.
One, Fatih Birol during the energy security in London, this year pointed out that, first thing you have to do if you want to achieve energy security is don't put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, have more than one sources of energy.
Mm.
So that, because if you just rely on hydroelectricity, for example, comes a drought and the water pressure drops, you're cooked.
Which happened to Zambia?
Exactly. So if you only rely on wind and then comes a time when the wind is just not strong enough, you have a problem.
Or a storm shows up and damages
the infrastructure. And thank you very much for that, because this has happened.
People forget the damage of storms, Hamlet.
Yeah. And if anyone that have seen the size of a windmill.
And I still can't believe why we still have not erected windmills at Swakop.
Erected. Windmills.
Now you need.
I've seen.
See. Listen.
I know.
We have to sanitize our thoughts here.
look, a building is a, well, it, look, it, that's a very, it's an English language would be the end of me. But look, look, wasn't that in Lutheritz, this year when one blade of a wind turbine?
No, it wasn't this year, it was last year.
It was last year.
Towards the end of last year, that massive blade.
Yeah, that's one blade.
Yeah.
Now, if a blade is that size, you can already, sort of like get a picture of the pole you are going to attach that thing on.
Now,
and you need three of them.
Now, add in, who's going to install that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because this is where the youth discussion of Tuesday factors into this discussion. Do you know what, do you remember when I said that the guy, the TVET guy, the TVET trained guy that stood next to Ortmann, said literally, they realized that there's a gap in the training locally in Namibia, because obviously he got the advanced trainings in when he was a beneficiary of that scholarship program in Germany. He indicated literally that there are no wind technicians in Namibia.
Ouch.
You can convert an engineer to take over that role, but then your costs would shoot through the roof just to have the engineer there. Because like I kept saying, for example, when Namibia decides to open up a manufacturing plant for cars, ne? If Namibia decides to open up a manufacturing plant.
I know a politician who didn't like that. But
after the quick break, we come back after the Steelers.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poikies ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassimberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uteo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanota, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 17 past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're here until the hour of 6. And we are talking about green hydrogen localizing, from a local beneficiation standpoint. How do we benefit from it? And for me, incorporating green hydrogen in our energy mix, which I believe we have already done, in terms of planning, it's a good thing, not only for attracting investors in terms of their low energy costs that we could take advantage of if you have multiple sources of energy. Now, this is where the reason why I said, you know, the reason why I said thank you for making that point is because page 58 of the of the green hydrogen localization report points out that cross-cutting enabler power infrastructure. Overview of Namibia's power sector. Namibia is actively expanding its energy infrastructure to achieve universal electricity access, you know, rural electrification. The 2040 projection that, those were interesting numbers.
That the IBS gave. Rural electrification is something else.
Not rural, universal, sort of like a countrywide. Electrification. Not universal as in we want to, you know, put electricity on Mars. This, that's Elon Musk is taking care of that.
His job.
Namibia is actively expanding its energy infrastructure to achieve universal electricity access by 2040 and to meet a rising demand, amidst challenges such as a severe drought impacting, imported power. We went through this with that, you know, with Zambia. Remember the goal is to have what, like, is it 400,000 households electrified, electrified by 2040, or at least 200,000, 200 something thousand by 2030. And that's a very nice dream. Now, currently approximately half, this also ties into, the AU's, Mission 300.
Is it not Vision 300? Or is it Mission?
Must be Mission.
Is the one about the
electrifying, like, is it the 600 million Africans that don't have access to electricity?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Which forms part of the broader infrastructure development of the AU, which is Vision 2063.
Wait, isn't Vision 2063 ours?
No, we are Vision 2030.
Africa.
Yeah, Africa's was Vision 2063. And in that, they break down the sectors that they target. Yeah. So, transport and infrastructure. Then comes the electrification thing that you spoke about, Vision or Mission 300. Oh, don't worry, guys. We are slowly but surely we are starting to sound like AI with all these things that we have to know.
We are AI at this point.
Currently,
approximately half of the population lacks access to electricity, with only 55.3% connected to the grid, affecting around 250,000 households. This country's installed power capacity is 654 megawatts, with peak demand projected to be double this figure by 2040. That's the demand. So, and this is not rocket science. The more, the more our population increase. And again, if you that confusing sort of like, that confusing, flip of a household versus a household occupant, the number of household members from 2011 to 2023 statistics, also factors into this, because households are obviously increasing. If we have learned one thing from our recent population statistics. So all this, the goal is to make sure that everyone has access to electricity. And I think that's the foundation that will basically lay, that's the foundation towards the proper adoption or the complete adoption of technology countrywide. Because when you look at it, if we are going to talk about, if we are going to talk about, take for example, having, AI ambulances, you are going to need electricity, because if you have an AI ambulance that's coming and it's the E version, remember, and it's coming from Windhoek and it's going to the Zambezi. How many charging stations are in between here and Zambezi?
And let's, for example, say that there is no charging station. Look. Okay.
Then I'm not driving that thing.
Let me rephrase how I want to start. The charging stations are everywhere. If you look at for the potential for an EV,
In terms of, you have one in your car, in your garage.
One in your house. There's a plug everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
you know, where it's been.
But are you going to allow to plug that thing in?
Exactly. Now, let's say the ambulance shows up and the clinic does not have electricity.
Oh.
Or the electricity is pulled from a solar panel that's just meant for the lights of the clinic. Will a docking station be constructed? And one of the downsides of docking stations and charging points for EVs is rainfall.
Yeah.
Because electricity and water are not the best of friends. And you need to insulate this infrastructure a lot better, which is one of the biggest problems for many, for example, in Europe and in North America, where they've got high levels of rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
Charging stations, docking stations are just not secure. I mean, people have not seen these reports, but because it's not been like 20 people electrocuted at once for one guy accidentally dropping a charging cable in the water in the parking lot. You have not seen this, but believe you me, go and look at the safety records of many of these particular extra pieces of infrastructure.
So all the problems that all the flooding that we witnessed this year, the flash floods of cars being washed away, that's a threat to charging stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look, Helmut, the nice thing is the discussion you and I are having from this particular report is that this specific report outlines a positive picture in terms of the springboard that Namibia's particular entry into this global green industrialization landscape will look like. For example, let's start from Namibia's largest development partner, which is Germany, in terms of its the election of its new chancellor and the coalition government he established.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? So Merz, who is from the CDU-CSU union, he's the representative of that German party. Merz went and negotiated with Olaf Scholz's party and with Annalena Baerbock's party, the Greens. So Scholz is the social democrats, the red party, and Annalena Baerbock's party is the Greens. But who's Annalena Baerbock's party leader? The guy that flew here to Namibia in 2023. Robert Habeck. He's the party leader. The guy that came and signed the agreements here in State House with former President Gangob.
Grenadier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where when we walked into the banquet hall, all the German private sector business energy was, private sector energy companies were sitting there and their representatives. The only guy that was the closest Namibian, because he was born here and he grew up here.
Oh, dear Lord.
But he lives in Johannesburg and his business is South African, but it operates here and in Germany and in South Africa. So that's one of the guys that were there. The rest were just Germans from Germany. Like that, in that order. I mean, when the president of E.ON, one of Europe's biggest energy companies,
yeah,
was in that banquet hall, then you've got to understand, Helmut, how significant that thing is. Because one of the nice things that the report mentions here is an indicator of what the carbon border adjustment mechanism of the EU also aims to do.
Yeah.
It aims to make green energy processes, fuels, and other products as equally competitive as the carbon-based products, meaning the oil and the gas. What does that mean? That means for the green products to have a competitive pricing mechanism against what the world has become used to consuming. The world is still used to oil and gas.
Are still consuming a ton of it.
The world, and it was now obviously the just energy transition that the EU had rolled out and brought forward, that the the part of the world through the Samoa Agreement has to try and factor into. I tried looking for the Samoa Agreement. I still can't get the full text agreement. The one that Namibia signed onto. I only get a summary document. I still have that report. Oh, I have the report. Yes, I have the report. Now I only remember.
Yes,
I have the report because it was based upon, remember back in May, our international relations minister attended the particular summit in Brussels. The one where we were trying to understand.
Yeah, the one where we just, we're just looking at people speaking. The next thing you know, they say, Namibia. And it's like, wait, what?
And then the other thing was that I was trying to find on the WhatsApp group, the WhatsApp group of the Ministry of Industrial, of International Relations.
Yeah, if they have any information.
If they told us that she was going to be there. And the deputy minister was obviously there. And there was just one thing saying, hey guys, there was nothing saying beforehand, she's departing to attend here. All we knew, all we saw on the group was literally, deputy minister was here, like after the fact. And then obviously we saw on the EU WhatsApp group, with the EU media relations. Here you go. Here's the report. Here's everything. Here's your wonderful minister speaking. And I'm like, look at these guys.
When was she there?
So, yeah. So I've got that report. Reason being, Helmut, because people need to understand when it comes to international relations and trade agreements, it's like layers and layers of policies. But we have an ad break coming up.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Hampton Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're on the green hydrogen discussion, localization, beneficiation, everything. And what we didn't make everything up is coming from the line ministry and the relevant stakeholders. And hang on a second. There's a whole list. That's one thing I like about these guys. There's a whole list of them. I see MIT, the Ministry of Mines and Energy is there. And they have, GIZ. Of course, that's how you know. GIZ, every time you hear GIZ, think money. Every time you hear anything else, just think, participation trophy type of participation. Sorry, guys, to throw you under the bus. I'm straight to my page 58 because I'm not done. But you are about to, finish first before I...
Okay, so the important thing... Okay, the important thing that's based upon this, Helmut, shows the multi-tiered or multi-layered negotiation and interaction between Namibia and its European development partners in terms of this new energy source with its new... potentials. Remember my favorite term, the power to X. Mm-hmm. Potential still has to be achieved. If people don't know what power to X is, because one of these, those scholarship guys from our talk of Tuesday also highlighted after I asked the manufacturing question, that the power to X is set to be achieved. Now, Noah, Helmut, this is the beauty of, and I love interacting and going out into the field. No one picks up on terms and words and things that a respondent, someone that you ask a question of, what they sometimes use in their sentences. People just sit there, blink their eyes,
and then clap their hands after.
And then clap hands, and then go and eat some of the refreshments or drink some of the refreshments, go home, and then no one picks up. What does power to X potential mean? Power to X potential, Helmut.
Is that the sounds like algebra.
Well, because the letter X technically means it seems like not infinite possibilities, but possibilities in terms of manufacturing products that you would otherwise have to manufacture from oil.
Alternative?
Let me say this again. Power to X speaks to manufacturing products in your economy as opposed to manufacturing products from oil. Remember when you mentioned kerosene, all those other products and Vaseline at the start of our talk?
From crude oil.
Yes. Now, power to X has the same potential. Meaning that if you produce your green hydrogen or you produce your green ammonia, you can establish what we call the petrochemicals sector. You can establish the synthetic chemicals or oils sector. You can make jet fuel. You can make all the other fuels. And this technically means that the Europeans are literally keeping their manufacturing companies here in the back pocket to say, research and develop engines to run on these fuels. And voila. The rollout is quick because look at what South Africa has. They've got Mercedes, they've got VW, they've got BMW. The Japanese have gone crazy with experimentation on hydrogen engines. Literally, Toyota has gone insane. Helmut, there's not a week that goes by where I see a pop-up on my news feed, the Google feed, of the Japanese have gone crazy and taken hydrogen engines to another level. And I'm like, dude, come on. How many updates are you willing to give me?
Mm.
However, since Trump took office, Trump has been trying to change course of these developments.
From the green hydrogen.
In the U.S. context. He's now trying to literally his administration, not him personally, because he's just mentioned it in speech, but in terms of actions, what is being done. Remember that Joe Biden signed into effect the Inflation Reduction Act. In the Inflation Reduction Act, there is a green sector incentive legislation, which aims to, and this is one of the reasons why the Europeans were so angry, that meaning the EU were so angry with Joe Biden and his administration, because the Inflation Reduction Act literally said, if you are Mercedes-Benz, you want to sell us your renewable or electric cars in the US, come open a plant in the US that manufactures that car here.
Oof.
Not export, not manufactured in Germany, and then ship it to the US, because it'll face a higher charge. That's what people also don't realize about the tariff game that Donald Trump had been trying to play. Some of that was already brought in by Joe Biden. And Joe Biden built on certain particular trade policies from Trump in his first term, which shows you the interconnectedness as well as also the continuation of certain trade policies.
Mm.
That doesn't matter if it's different administrations, that they still motivate.
Maintain the same.
And maintain, yeah. So when you're looking at this particular subject matter, we, as Namibia, we are on a greater, I'll call it like a hill or a mountain with so much potential, we still don't know what it is. But then we've got Namibians that are singing at the top of their lungs because of Aliko Dangote willing to come and build a refinery in Namibia. But you have to ask the question. If Dangote shows up with his manufacturing or his construction guys to build the refinery in Namibia, what oil is he going to put in there to refine? Is it going to be Nigerian coming from Nigeria? Or did Total and Shell say, yes, 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 the oil is there?
Yeah, just build a refinery and then we'll just sign an agreement with you. Then we can just, well, we'll be drilling it, you'll be refining it, because that also requires, you getting a supplier.
Yeah. However, everyone seems to forget the industrial base survey. An industrial baseline survey. What was our conclusion, Helmut? Which is not our conclusion, which is literally in the report.
Yeah, that's that one is on, take it up with Deloitte if you have issues with it.
Deloitte and Ministry of Mines?
Yeah.
Why? 2035 is when you'll possibly see the first barrel. In between, now, 2025, and 2030?
Setting, or putting all the pieces in place.
The green hydrogen program would have been producing by then.
And no one seems to answer the Kudu discussion. But
you were still on your point on page 58, Helmut.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing, though. One part of our red line debate as a country.
Mm.
Our red line debate, one part of our red line debate is that, you'd actually, I often say if I was a southern part of the red line, commercial farmer, the whole complete removal of the red line would actually, would actually freak me out because, I will have to sit and try to understand how will that, impact my business. Because again, you have to understand that, the EU, both combined as a bloc and individual countries make, they have a lot of buying power for, they have, they are one of, if not the biggest, market we have for our meat. So, everyone then that's taking advantage of that meat would basically be freaked out by anything that will let one of the biggest customers they have asking questions like, okay, now with this new development, just how healthy is your meat?
Mm.
I'm not criticizing. I'm asking just how healthy is your meat. So when you look at it from a southern part of the red line commercial farmer standpoint, it raises a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after looking at, now just take that thought and then bring it into manufacturing. The carbon, the carbon border adjustment mechanism, discussion, which is going to kick into effect, next year, that also, I think it gives us to look at the green industry as an advantage, because the CBAM basically indicates that any product that you'll be getting, any product that you'll be producing using non-green energy sources will be faced with an extra extra tax.
Yeah.
So that means by taking the direction of green hydrogen to dominate much of the manufacturing sector, especially the sector that produces stuff for largely for the EU market, that'd be a brilliant idea.
Mm.
Because it would be very easy for you to prove that you have been producing using this product using this green energy, since they're funding the whole thing in the first place, but since they're funding the whole thing anyway. Yeah,
we also have to use a different word. There was most the big confusion, Helmut.
Participation?
No. Mm-hmm. It is participatory in spirit, in some extent. Where
you didn't have to add on the spirit part.
No, but back in last year, 2024, there were a bunch of Namibians. I say a bunch because I met it at multiple platforms that made the assertion, not the accusation, the assertion being, they insist that the statement is a fact that in some cases, the Namibian government used money to co-finance green hydrogen. Now, it was funny, for example, at the one platform where the former director general, Obert Kanjore, had to say, I know Namibians go around telling each other that we used our money. No, we were donated the money. So what happened is that the EU in Germany donated money to Namibia to tell Namibia, use that money to buy a stake into the green hydrogen program. Okay, Helmut, you remember back to the discussion we had about the Credit Agreements Act, ne? Back in last year. So in the Credit Agreements Act, you may not borrow me money if I originally owe you money. So let's say I can't pay an installment a month, ne? And then you say, okay, Dwight, for you to keep the account going, I'll give you the money to pay the
account active
and
pay till the time when you get your own money.
Not like that. To continuously keep the payments, the installment payments continuing. Let's, for example, say something severe happens in 1 month. And I come and tell you, Helmut, I won't have money for you. I won't have the full amount of money to pay you the installment as regularly as possible. X, Y, and Z. These are the reasons. Then you say, okay, Dwight, I'll lend you that money.
That you need
to pay for the installment. But remember, that's an
extra, the installments to me.
Yeah, that's an extra amount of money based upon what I originally owe you. Now, the reason why I'm using the Credit Agreements Act example is so that you can understand it in that same light. However, it's not a credit agreement because they said,
I have one question. Those of you that are stealing money, why are you taking it?
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot the quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Now, German government, please continue.
Yeah. Okay. So there is no credit agreement discussion in what I explained. So that the listener out there should not think that Namibia would owe money on a donation. Because according to the former director general, he allegedly stated that at that alternative mining endeavor that was hosted by the CSOs in the start of last year, when I just, you know, parachuted myself in there. I was like literally the only media person there. Parachuted in there, and then he answered that question. Because he literally said, this is money donated to us, but we were told as Namibia,
you can use it for anything.
Use
else.
That money to buy into the green hydrogen program of your country.
For you to own a stake.
For you as a country to own a stake. So it literally, if you needed a more clearer example, it's literally like when Namdeb was formed, it's literally De Beers telling Namibia, here's money, buy a stake into Namdeb.
Huh?
Do you get it?
Holy cow.
Remember that the diamond mining companies were there before Namibia became Namibia.
Yeah.
So when Namibia became independent,
they were like, you know,
imagine the scenario. That's
here's
why I
some
said
of the money.
That's why I'm saying it's hypothetical. Here's some money. Buy a stake into the joint venture that you inherited, that is in your country. You've got to love commercial law.
Yeah.
And corporate law.
So, in other words, well, we have shareholders.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are not just going to scratch our head and start going, you know what? You know what? You know, everyone has a share, because I think that will also impact their, you know, their stock prices.
Mm.
And, just buy it. In other words, then, you know, that will not impact the stock prices in any way.
That could be one of the possible entities as well.
Yeah, because if they were just handing it out of free, and that would also, I think,
devalue the shares.
Yeah, devalue the shares and impact investor confidence in a way.
But if you look at who are the investors only, the only investors, there's only two, but technically.
Yeah, but you have competition, remember?
Who? In Southern Africa? Who's your competition now? In diamond mining?
Namibia.
No, that's countrywide.
Yeah.
You're speaking from a corporate sense. The corporate sense would then have been De Beers. And if De Beers is the largest in Southern Africa.
Yes, he's running both Namibia,
Botswana,
South Africa.
South Africa, Zimbabwe to an extent as well. But Zambia even.
Yeah.
Even DRC, because they've also got diamonds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't know about the DRC, but I'll just assume.
Yeah, we don't know about DRC before people start, you know, thinking they're having a meeting with M23. They're not sure about that.
Yeah, the M23 guys. But yeah, so if you look at that setting, it really takes development to a new level. So yeah, just back to you, Helmut, where you left off last.
For me, I'm looking at it, from a, you know, universal, rural, let me use national instead of just going universal, because for some reason I have a more like a literally universe type of understanding every time I say that. Yeah, universal, or more like a national electrification. And also laying the, you know, laying a very strong foundation for a manufacturing base, not only for local manufacturers, but also for those ones that are coming from outside that would like to come and invest here. And, that's, you know, this is not just, you know, this is not just from developing, this is both a north to south and south to south type of investments. One thing that's pointed out in the report is that despite the developments, that's the development of revamping our energy infrastructure. Mm. Despite these developments, Namibia's local energy production remains insufficient to meet its needs, and as evident by 2021 peak demand of 616 megawatts. And that didn't shock me, because of something you said about about NamPower telling those ones that would like to venture into energy, you know, into energy production. Because you have a solar farm. Congratulations. You are harvesting, you know, you're harvesting energy during the day from our long days, compared to a lot of other countries that don't have a lot of direct or more like a lot of sunlight exposure per year.
Mm.
Now, you have this solar farm, but, do you have that energy storage? And the answer is no. Then they're like, until you figure that part out, it's kind of difficult for us to get into a business with you, because most of the people need energy where?
At night.
Exactly.
And them as NamPower would like to prioritize other clients as well. Now, the engagement that took place at the start of this year, the other public engagement by NamPower and the ECB, before the NamPower City of Windhoek stakeholder engagement that took place in May. The one of March with NamPower and ECB. No, sorry, that was ECB, City of Windhoek. The one of ECB NamPower in March factored in a discussion of how what are the challenges that the power utility faces? So the power utility says renewable energy producers want to enter the Namibian market. So it shows there's a lot of investment available. People want to invest in this sector.
Yeah.
But then they come and tell NamPower, but we want to invest in the sector to sell into the SADC power pool. Because there's a US dollar price there. We don't care about your Namibian dollar price here in the Namibian power pool. And there's only one customer in the Namibian power pool. That's NamPower. Now NamPower's customers, as NamPower explained it, the mines negotiate directly supply contracts. Mm. The local authorities, for example, like City of Windhoek, and the regional electricity distributors, which you find in the central north of Namibia, far north of Namibia, and the west coast of Namibia, because those are the three existing reds. So they've got these three sets of clients, and each of these sets of clients have their own particular developmental issues, usage requirements, as well as also their demands in terms of what they can sometimes even afford, in terms of looking at what does their customer consumer base or consumption base say, and what can be supplied. And then NamPower uses that and goes and looks at their own generation capabilities, which includes like maintenance schedules, repair schedules, new projects in the pipeline to try and meet demands and future demands, and ultimately what their colleagues in the broader SADC region are busy with, or the broader SADC region are busy with. Because here's a surprising thing. The renewable energy discussion I went to last year, at the end of last year at NUST, which saw that Italian CSO or foundation present a discussion at NUST. The guy that was there from the regional electrical authority, RERA, the guy that was there said Angola has been trying to supply into the SADC power pool, but there is a disconnection between Angola and the rest of the SADC guys, meaning there is no transmission line.
Infrastructure problem.
There's an infrastructure issue, and the guys are negotiating with each other who should bear the brunt of the cost of erecting that infrastructure.
But here's the thing, though. Countries like Zambia have a place that's literally called Copper Belt because of how rich it is in copper.
Yeah.
So, and then again, this is why I, you know, just slid in the comment of those of you that are, you know, asset forfeiting state funds. Where is this money going? Because look, for me, I think, you know, I think I would to some degree forgive you for chopping the money if it was invested inward. Look, I don't think Africa has an infrastructure problem or financial problem. Guys, it's very embarrassing when when the main donor mm-hmm. of your country's developmental projects is also the main donor of your continental developmental projects.
Yes.
African Union.
And then EU. Namibia.
Namibia, EU. At this point, anyone can basically just start asking a question. Where's the money? Because the money is there until you realize that, well, the way that we spend our money is by spending, you know, the whole month in Switzerland.
Well, that's African Union. Don't ask a question.
Yeah, no. Don't ask
Sub UDK.
Yeah, and also, by the way, homeboy is, you know, I think announced yesterday that he's running for his 44th term in office.
Paul Weah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. I read that
44th term in office.
And I was like, but this guy lives in Switzerland. He's technically an honorary citizen of Geneva by now. Or is it Zurich? Well, which one of the two,
okay,
Swiss cities?
So, if you look at it, I think Zambia and Angola, and let me just say, the whole SADC, if they wanted to, I don't think money is the problem. It's I think it's more of an investment strategy problem.
And a governance issue.
That's the giant one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a governance issue, and which is why again the criticism about the financing of the African Union have been, popped up, because some countries are just there to warm chairs,
And going like, you know what, guys, we like the buffet, you know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was nice. Wonderful. Now it's time to hop on a plane. So, yeah. You know, just so you saw that people at home can print, you know, newspapers about where the president is and what they are talking about, you know, stuff
just,
like that.
Just look at us looking flash, you know, looking flash and fresh.
No, it's not that we don't have money. It's a, you use the correct term. It's a governance issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also put in mind that, Angola was in a civil war from 1975 to 72. So there's one time that they think, in the southeastern part, there was a construction of a tarred road that led, that was connecting like two major points.
Mm.
There's a place called Kakuchi just on the southeastern part. It's just, it's just across the road from, across the river, the Kavango River from Namibia.
Mm.
When they build, when they were building the...
Is Kakuchi not the one opposite Rundu?
That would be Giriku. Oh, it's either Giriku is the side of the side of Ndiona, if I'm
because
not
there's a town, right?
Yeah, there's one, but
you can walk across the bridge.
Yeah, you can,
and then you get into the town on the other side.
That's not Giriku. There's a specific name for it, but Kakuchi is further east the side of Divundu.
Mm.
Yeah, but the thing is, to construct that road, they needed a group of guys called Diminaj, like the guys that was the bomb squad. Yeah, this is a country that was in a civil war.
So they needed protection just like the Chinese mining companies are needing protection in Mexico from the Mexican cartels.
No, it's more about, landmines.
Clear? Oh, safety.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So they're like landmine clearers.
Yeah.
Super bargains await you at USAID, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only 26.99 Namibian dollars for 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body cream. 36.99 Namibian dollars for 1 kilo of Mama's washing powder. 750 milliliters Captain dishwashing liquid costs only 18.99 Namibian dollars at USAID. And large Sona bath soap, just 12.99 Namibian dollars. USAID. We all save at USAID.
Kapuna enda to drive do di drive on da doya shop right. Otori pakabo okupe tera enda to onda ta juwa parere emumbe toe gashi e kilogram diri bashuma no nano. Tofira wo pakabo champion super maize meal. Tau kosha shike e dora diri o milonga na tu nambari ifinga yo wai ne senda diri wai. Nenge uranda ka to pike kilogram diri masera tano correct brand medium fat spread. Boku tura komboro to ke dora diri wai ifinga yo wai ne senda diri wai adike. Ino futi kwa shiapu si drive onda to ya shop right. Enda to edi o diri kofi o masi ko milonga nambari a juli o kosha shop right kapuke.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of six. So, infrastructure, especially when it comes, to Angola, like, I can easily, you know, understand anyone that was old enough, especially for those of us that are in the northern part of the country. And, got a little bit of a taste of, trigger happy guys that were just running around that part, you know, which is why the National Defense Force basically had to be stationed in that part, you know, when the conflict sort of like moved further south. But the thing is, for a country that, that was at war for such a long time, you can imagine they're going to take a very long time. And Angola by landmass is huge.
Mm.
Yeah. So, obviously that's going to take, I think that's a problem, about landmines, because you have to understand, what's this, the most bombed country in Central Asia? Laos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farmers are still suffering from explosives to this day.
That are undetonated, just
lying, especially cluster bombs. Yeah.
Lying there in the somewhere there in the bush.
Yeah. But if you ask me, investment wise, if you look at the, if you look at the money that, that, who is this, Dos Santos' daughter has been accused of, of channeling from public funds into personal bank accounts, that's a lot of developmental budget.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, if you have, I think it all boils down to governance. If you have leaders across the continent that are doing things like that, channeling billions and billions of dollars into private bank accounts, you can't tell me that we need, I don't even think we need, we need foreign investors in the same way that we think we do. We have a lot of it. And again, this is where I think it's a, looking at our, midterm expenditure framework.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is what one thing that makes me, pat ourselves, as a country on the shoulder and go like, we are not perfect, but we are headed there. Because, if you, you and I went through the previous, the previous 1,000 page document, and the recent 1,500 page document.
No, that
and
one was 500.
That's 500. This one is 1,000.
Yeah.
One thing that, one thing the new one pointed out was that, we are funding most of our developmental projects. We have, external financing from our developmental partners, but we are carrying, we can easily describe ourselves as carrying, or at least trying to carry our own weight. And yeah, Tanzania also, Tanzania officially opened one of the bridges, I think, is it the John Magufuli Bridge this year. And one thing that they were quick to point out is how they financed the whole thing themselves. Like,
which is good.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is easy. Very good, yeah. I don't know about easy, but very good.
All I'm saying is, don't steal the money and it will finance your projects.
Which is one of those particular aspects. Yeah. But on that note, guys, do enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. See us again tomorrow, same time, same place on Friday, and stay tuned.
Until tomorrow, same time, same place, teachers, congratulations. In advance?
You congratulate people on their salaries?
Broke, dude. Trying to work my way. This whole, this whole bail hearing thing. This guy say, I'm looking at the amount of money involved and the just a fancy way of calling me broke. Every time I listen to it. Until tomorrow, David is here with a business and economic segment. Y'all stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace,
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere.